Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Russ Grocki and Elma Lau met at the U.S. Naval Academy. After graduation, they went their separate ways. In 1991, they both met up again in San Francisco and got married. Fast forward. Rear Admiral Elma Lau Grocki is still on active duty in the Navy. Russ Grocki has been retired since 2011, and besides helping with the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, he coaches high school and middle school golf at Assets School. He volunteers with the Boy Scouts, and we pause today at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the love of God, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, that nothing is so difficult or so daunting that with God's help, you would be able to go through, to make it through in a way of strength and in a way of hope, no matter what it is, because He who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on the cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, my friend, calls you to Himself, and it's our hope that you would open your heart to Jesus Christ. Russ Grocki and Alma Grocki have two sons in college, and they attend One Love Church. Alma, Russ, welcome to our show. I'm so glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Russ, where did you grow up?
I grew up mostly in Connecticut and went to the Naval Academy from there.
What part of Connecticut?
The center of the state, a small town called Avon, had about 8,000 people in it. Pretty normal New England town. Played, Little League and growing up, and did Boy Scouts, and had a pretty small middle school, pretty small high school.
What was it? Let's paint more of a picture of what it was like in Avon. What are your greatest memories, or one or two of your greatest memories growing up there?
Oh, wow. We had a nice neighborhood of about 13 houses, and had probably a dozen kids of my age group in there, me and my brothers and sisters. I had three sisters and a brother. So between that couple dozen houses and the street we were on, we had lots and lots of, pickup football games, pickup baseball games. We had a little dead end area that we sort of made into our own sandlot baseball area, and lots of football games on the front yard kind of deal. Lots of snow, lots of blizzards. Good time building snow forts and stuff.
What was your favorite football team?
I guess back then it was the Giants, New York Giants.
New York Giants. How about baseball?
Baseball's sort of funny because we're halfway between New York and Boston. So I was a Red Sox fan, still am. Was happy to see them finally win in 2004. But pretty much our town was split. Some people like the Yankees, some people like the Red Sox.
Elma, where did you grow up?
I grew up right here in Kalihi, hoftailing in school. And it was a pretty rough part of town back then.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, definitely my parents. My dad was a really hard worker. He worked at the shipyard. He was a general foreman in the riggers, laborers shop. And he was pretty quiet. He didn't talk a lot, but it was mostly through his example. A hard worker, integrity. He kept on a couple of jobs. He was also a a broker for his own real estate company, and he also sold insurance. So he was always trying to make more money for us to live better. Mm. And on the other hand, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she was basically, now looking back on it, she was a taxi driver for my sister and I to piano lessons and viola lessons and hula. But she was very patient, and she taught us about, you know, Bible verses. She had been a Sunday school teacher, so Bible verses and Bible drills and all that kind of thing. So both of my parents influenced me in different ways, but both of them.
Who influenced you most, Russ?
Well, for sure, my mom and dad. I mean, had a few good school teachers that I think I really admired. Really got along well with my math teacher. She kept challenging me to... it was right when computers were coming out, and you still had the little tape, you know, that you punched little holes in. Mm-hmm. But she always told me my computer programs weren't elegant enough and to become more elegant. So I think she really got me using my brain, and I really enjoyed math because of that.
I like that word, elegant. How did you become a Christian, Russ?
Well, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I guess my first bout with evangelism was in high school. I was on the cross country and track teams, and our cross country coach was also a science teacher in our school. He suggested to the cross country team that we go to this summer camp up in New Hampshire to do a week's worth of running. So sounded like a good idea. Why not go run up and down a few mountains? Well, it turns out when it got there that it was a Christian camp, Christian youth camp, that was sports oriented. Kids came there for different sports. But at the end of every day, they would get together in the mess hall and, you know, sing some worship songs and have a speaker and that kind of thing. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, shoot, I'm pretty sure I'm a Christian, and I believe in God and all that kind of stuff. But if I'm not yet, then yes, I want to be one. So I pretty much consider that my moment of introspection when I was being besieged with this stuff every night. Mm. Asking me if I was a Christian, for me to at least reflect on it and say, well, yeah, I think I'm a Christian, but if not, then yes, I want to be a Christian. So that's pretty much how that came to happen.
Alma, how about yourself?
Totally different. I went to New Ana Baptist Church. You know, that's where my parents went. We went to Sunday school. We did that every week. And I guess I was sort of a church-going person, but not necessarily a Christian. And it all came down to, I think it was in the mid-70s, I had to go have a surgery on my ankle. And they couldn't really figure out if I was allergic to the anesthesia. So there was a little bit of doubt about how that was all going to go. And my Sunday school teacher at the time, Janice Nakamura, who's, you know, just, she's been with the church forever, she came to visit me in the hospital, and she said, well, you know, if you believe in God, then, you know, it doesn't take much. You don't have to be a good person. This is all you have to do to be a Christian. I thought, well, okay, so this is a really good time, kind of playing my odds. This would be a really good time to be a Christian in case something goes wrong in the surgery. So it wasn't, you know, altruistic at all. It was pretty base. And so she prayed with me, and we talked about it, and I said, okay. And like I said, it was sort of hedging your bets, you know. I want to go to heaven just in case something goes wrong. But then, of course, that spurred me on to look more deeply into it than just what the surface is of being a Christian. But that was the initial thing that started it all.
How did it go forward from there? That got you started. How did things get deeper?
Well, actually, I can say it probably didn't get too much deeper until I got to the academy. And having, you know, coming from Punahou here, I thought I was pretty hot stuff for grades and school, and got there and figured out I had no idea how to really study. And I was struggling with my grades. And there was an older midshipman from Hawaii here, Chester Wong, who was very strong in his faith. And he would talk to me about, well, why don't you ask God for help? Well, I am. I ask him for A's. And, well, you're not supposed to ask for A's. Well, I don't know how to do this. Well, what are you supposed to ask him for, you know? And he said, well, when you go to a test, what happens? I said, well, I kind of panic and then I sort of mind dump everything. He said, well, why don't you just ask him for clarity and to have you help you to do the best you can? Sure, I'll try that. So I did. And, you know, of course, the first time you try it and it works, like, oh, well, that kind of worked. And then I was like, well, I wonder what else I can ask about. And then I started getting more into, well, it's not just about the asking, but more of asking what he wants me to do. And then it sort of went from there. But it was a very long road. It wasn't anything quick or, you know, and I can tell you, it was very self-serving. You know, the very beginning is like, okay, what can you do for me? Mm-hmm. You know, and all right, if I got to believe in you so that you can do that for me, okay, I'll do that. So, it wasn't your real Christian kind of thing, if you want to put it that way. It was pretty self-serving, I think, to begin with. And then asking him to, opening up to him, that really helped.
Chester Wong really helped you.
He did. He and his entire family, because his family helped my parents when I was there to help them when I was away to cope with, you know, things they didn't know about at the academy. And mm-hmm. He was 2 years ahead of me.
Moments of transition in our lives typically open us up to different needs we didn't think we would ever have. And in those moments when we begin to think of things that we have longings for, our heart begins to open up. Perhaps today, as you hear Alma Grocki and Russ, Alma and Russ Grocki share, perhaps you're in a moment where transition is taking place in your own life, and a sort of dislodging of you out of your comfort zone, as it were. You're beginning to ask questions that you didn't normally ask before. And you begin to think about God, and you begin to think about your relationship with God. Maybe it is as base as just what you can get from God at this point. And if you're just honest with yourself, and if that is what it is, that's what it is. And we need to go from there. That's where things are. But I think it's okay if that's where it is, because if we're honest, God takes us from there to the next steps that we need to go. Thank God for the Chester Wongs of this world. And today we thank God for the Russ and Alma Grockis of this world. Today they are in studio with us, sharing heart to heart with you right where you are. And perhaps to take you closer to where God would want you to be, and really where you would want to be yourself. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Hey, moments of transition. You know what that's like? Have you experienced that before? How about the apprehensions of transitions? Or let's go further. What about the anxieties of wondering how it's going to work in your favor? If you've ever been at that place in your life, I'm glad you're listening today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I've got Alma and Russ Grocki in studio with us today. They have a background in at the United States Naval Academy, Annapolis. They have both served. Alma still serves in the Navy today, Rear Admiral Alma Grocki. But Russ also retired from the U.S. Navy. When we talk about transitions, they know all about it. And the things that they're going to share today, I think, will relate to you right where you may be in your life today. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this program in its entirety for free. It's a free podcast there at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Pass it to a friend, pass it to a family member, encourage them with a gift by sending them this show. Alma, before our break, you were talking about being far from altruistic in your relationship with God your freshman year at Annapolis, graduating from Punahou. There you thought you were going to master things and you had to reset. How did your relationship grow from just asking God, help me with this, help me with that, from there to a deeper level of relational appreciation, grace, and love?
Well, I think at one point I felt like I was taking and not giving. Mm. I would ask for something and God would grant it or not grant it the way I wanted it. And then I got to thinking, well, sometimes, you know, shouldn't I be giving something back? I feel like a taker. And so I started asking, well, is this what you want me to do? As opposed to saying, this is what I want. And then it became a what do you want me to do, as opposed to giving him some hints about what I thought I would want him to know about how I want a situation to be. Then it got to the more general question of what do you want me to do? And then just recently, you know, I read an article about when you pray, the two hardest words is to say use me, because then you just never know where that's going to take you. And so I've been doing that more and more. It's hard at first because you don't want to give up that control of where you think you can control your life, or, you know, you got to remind God, okay, this is what I really want you to have done for me. I really want my life to go this way. So I started doing that in very slow baby steps, asking for clarity on what his plan was. And I know he has a good sense of humor, but what his plan was for me and for my family, and where he wanted me to go and how he wanted me to do it.
Russ, you've experienced some transitions in your life, your relationship with God. I wonder, has he helped you in those transitions?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to clarify that two things about God's plan. One is that it's on his timetable, not yours. Mm. And the second thing I think that I've come to learn is that if you are able to discern it, he usually gives you what you need, though not necessarily what you want. And through many, many household goods moves to different duty stations and career transitions, we've certainly prayed a lot and actually been surprised many times at how those prayers were answered.
You give me an example.
Well, I was a submarine officer by trade, and when in the Navy, your typical aspiration is to command a ship, and to do that in the Navy, you go through a multi-year screening process where, in a simplistic description, they basically pick 30% of the upcoming COs out of your particular graduation year each year over a three-year period. And when I was going through that process, the first couple years I was not selected. So as the third year came along, we really started getting anxious, you know, like, okay, were we going to get picked? Were we not going to get picked? And really started fretting over all the permutations and possibilities and what ifs. And finally, at the time, we were here in Hawaii, and we had just moved to Hawaii, and we're going to New Honor Baptist Church, and we're involved in a pretty good young adults group that was teaching us more and more about prayer and how to look at God's plans and stuff like that. So basically, we got to the point where we were worrying so much that we just said, forget it. God, whether I'm picked, whether I'm picked as an alternate, whether I'm not picked, you know, just turn it over to you and take the next step as it comes. And so the results of the third year came out, and I was selected as an alternate, which basically meant that, you know, someone would have to do something bad for me to become a CO. And
how did you feel being picked as an alternate?
I mean, I was certainly disappointed because that had been my career goal. But by the same token, I also had prayed, you know, okay, you know, whatever the result, we're going to try and bravely step forward and see where that takes us. So, you know, I dutifully went to work the next day and started in the job that I was assigned to do. And then about, I guess it was about 3 months later, they started a new program, which they wanted me to get involved in, which basically sent me to the, I was not a commanding officer, but I was helping train commanding officers. And so I needed to go to the same schools. And I went to those schools and then finished that. And about 3 weeks after I was done with the school, I got a call from my boss, and he said, hey, good news, you're going to go be a commanding officer, because a certain number of people had fallen off the track, and I had basically worked my way up the alternate list and got assigned as a commanding officer.
Were you able to see the behind-the-scenes working that God was doing in preparing you for that moment?
Well, certainly looking back on it.
Mm-hmm. In hindsight.
Right. By the time I had gotten the word to be a CO, I had already been led through the groundwork to prepare me to do it. So when the call came, I was ready to go, and I never would have imagined it, say 15 months earlier, that sequence of events would have progressed.
Someone today, Russ, Alma, someone today is in a frustrated moment. They're trying to figure out how it's all going to play out. They're strategizing. They're creating things in their own mind that they have no control over, but it gives them some salve of comfort or order by doing that. It may be something they're aware of, or it might be unbeknownst to them that it's just going to wear them out down the road because they really don't have control. And even as I'm saying that, they hate hearing it because they don't want to believe it. Have you ever been in that place? I'm sensing. I mean, we talked a little bit, you know, during our break about it. But if what would you say to someone who may be going through that?
Well, I was in the background of this whole thing. Russ is a lot calmer than I am. I'm always thinking, moving, trying to plan, trying to organize. And so on the spouse side of this, I saw him come home every day, and we would sit together and say, okay, so where do you think you are on the list? Because we didn't know where on the alternate list he was. Do you think you're above this guy or this guy? Do you think that guy's on the list? And, well, who do you think is going to go? And we would set all these plans, make all these diagrams and these lists of who we thought was going to go where. Not only did it sap our energy, but we weren't any closer to knowing the answers. We felt like we could control our own destiny if we could plan this and make it logical. And if we could lay it all out, we could assure ourselves of one thing or the other. And at the end of that whole time, Russ just came home one day and he threw his briefcase in the corner and said, enough. Enough of this trying to figure it all out. We're just going to have to give this to God. And it was just a total relief because it was a realization. It was really out of our hands. We really couldn't make anything happen by planning or scheming or writing things down. We had really no control, and to give that control up was really hard, but it was easy in that you don't have to worry about it anymore. If you finally say, okay, you know what? This is bigger than me. I don't know all the pieces. I don't know how they're moving around. And God, you have that plan. You just take care of it and just help me to accept whatever the final answer is. And that was so much easier, but we didn't see it that way in the beginning. We thought it was hard because we wanted to find a way to influence it. And in the end, all we did was frustrate ourselves and not come up with any more answers than we were when we began. And it was only a few weeks later that God finally, you know, that call came and Russ said, they said, Russ, you're commanding officer of a submarine. Get ready to go. And we said, well, shoot, if we had known that, we would have given it to God a long time ago. But, you know, we had to do our human thing and try to make it fit, make it work.
At the risk of doing a little fretting of what you had said and declared that you wouldn't do, at the risk of that, what do you think God was doing in you in the process?
I think a lot of times he just... Once again, it's on his timetable, not yours. I mean, I think if I had gotten selected initially, I might not been as well prepared. I mean, there were some experiences that I went through during the year that it took to me to go from alternate to selected that helped prepare me better for the job ahead. And I mean... from the time that I gave it to God till the time I was a CO was probably a total of a year and a half period. I mean, and in that time, one guy retired early because of a family situation. Another guy got a DUI, and another guy failed his CO school. And I never would have envisioned those possibilities to move me up the alternate list a year earlier.
When things seem out of our hands... And many things actually are out of our hands. We just sort of create our own semblance of control when actually it could be more of a mirage. We do that. And as we speak to you, maybe you're creating your own ideas of how it's all going to play out. When we come back... We'll talk a little bit more about this. I think we're hitting on a very sensitive subject, but one that isn't often spoken about when it comes to spiritual life, the Christian life. I think it's practical, beneficial to know that in spite of all our trying to work things out, God is moving in ways behind the scenes to position us. And oh, what more peaceful it would be. How much more if we rested in Him? Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me.
lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Amashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
They have two sons in college. I'm speaking of Russ Grocki and U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Alma Grocki. They attend One Love Church, and you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Amashiro, speaking about leadership and family. Both Russ and Alma graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. Alma actually was the first woman from Hawaii to be admitted at the U.S. Naval Academy. As you listen to this program, and we have these talks and share heart-to-heart about, well, as we go into parenting and different personalities in a marriage relationship, you may want to pass this on to a family member or a friend or listen to it again. You can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com and get it as a free podcast. Again, that and other resources at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Alma, you sit here in front. I see, I can tell, people can listen and hear the drivenness in your way. you know, on the other side of it, I can look at Russ, and there's a reflectiveness, a pensiveness. I wonder if Alma, you have a reflective bone in your body, so to speak. But how does it relate to raising children?
Well, I usually reflect about the 5 minutes before I fall asleep. As I'm laying there thinking, okay, I got to say prayers, you know, and that's about the time I reflect. But I think it's, for us anyway, it works in that we're almost complete opposites. Mm-hmm. I'm going a mile a minute every day. You know, Russ thinks about things. He's the voice of logic and reason. He's the calm one in the family. I'm the one that spins up. He pulls me down off the ceiling, and then we sit and talk about something. So I think that if we had been the same, either both going a mile a minute or both, you know, quiet and you know, introspective, it would have probably driven the kids crazy. But as it is, they always had, you know, one quiet parent that could talk to them and reason and think about things. They had one parent who could reason and think about things, but was shoving them out the door at the same time and getting them to move. And so I think that it was a good balance between the two of us.
Yeah, the I guess the interesting thing was, you know, as you always think when you're starting parenting, oh, our kids are going to be just like us, and any and all kids we have will have the exact same personalities. And quickly as they grow up, you realize, first of all, that they are their own people. They don't live your life again. They make their own choices and have their own interests. And then even if they're, we don't have twins, but I'm sure even parents of twins would tell you their two twins have different personalities. And our kids were 19 months apart, both boys, and they had completely different personalities. So having us be different personalities, so we could deal with the kids. Sometimes Alma would be the better person to address a problem first, and sometimes I would be. And you know, we had certainly plenty of arguments over what was the right answer, but I think the kids getting a little bit of, you know, type A personality and a sympathetic ear help them over time. And you know, sure, they'll pick a parent based on what answer they want to hear, but at least if Alma and I kept up a good line of communication, we could avoid them doing an end around on us and you know, taking advantage of that. So we did do a pretty good job, I think, of each of us using our strength with the appropriate problem, and then the other one being the buffer to try and get the kids settled down on whatever the issue was.
When you became commanding officer, how would you describe your experience in doing that?
It is a unique feeling because you're pretty much in charge of your ship. You get a little bit antsy just because you are the one in charge, and anything that happens is going to be a reflection of you. And my CO tour was, you know, full of both kinds of things that we needed work on and I get yelled at for, and things that we did great on and I got commended for. So it's a pretty much one-stop shop for what goes on your ship or your submarine, and plenty of time to pray. I mean, when you get a difficult situation, it's helpful to just go to the Lord and say, well, I'm not sure what to do here. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but, you know, give me the strength and wisdom to see it through.
Alma, did you aspire to become an admiral?
Oh, absolutely not. I actually came off active duty and went in the reserves for many years, and then as the kids got older, was able to spend more time on active duty, so I kept coming back. But I was going to be pretty happy with being an 06 or a captain in the Navy. I wanted to get to the point where I could affect the lives of other people as far as changing policies or changing rules. I always wanted to be on the other side of the podium where I could make things happen for more people because of my rank. And, you know, I sat on the other side in the audience saying, boy, if I was queen for a day, I'd know how to fix all this. So I wanted to have the opportunity to do that. And then as an 06, as a captain, I did have that opportunity. And I saw as I got higher up in rank, I could affect more. I could do more things. I could change more things. But never thought I would make Admiral 07. Never.
How did it happen?
In my community, engineering duty. So although Russ and I are different, we're both engineers. And so our boys are engineers. So that's the one thing that's the same in the whole family. So when things broke in our house, we didn't throw them away. We took them apart. But but anyway, you know, I started off the my community, engineering duty, only chooses one admiral in the reserves every 3 years. And so you'd have to wait and see how that would work. But I always thought, well, okay, you know, in the time that I'm going to have to wait or to be a captain, there's so many things I can do, not just for my one unit, but for more of the community. What community things can I do? How can I affect more of the people in my community, not just officers, but the enlisted as well? And sometimes it takes horsepower to get things done. And if I can be that horse for some enlisted person that can't get something through because they're not senior enough, then that's what I want to do. And I wanted to show them what it was that people were standing behind them, that they're willing to help them, they're willing to do things for them. And that got noticed just because I have a lot of energy and I want to get involved in a lot of things. I had some ideas, had other people have ideas that were good that I got involved in, and they got noticed. And so when the first time I went up, didn't get selected, they said I was too junior. 3 years later, didn't get selected, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is the end. And, you know, Russ continually reminded me, if this is God's plan, if this is what he wants you to do, it'll happen. So, you know, stop fretting about it. That doesn't mean you can sit on your hands and do nothing and say, okay, just make it happen for me like magic. You got to do what you need to do, but then at the end of the day, you have to let God take care of it.
Well, one thing I wanted to add to that is the second promotion board was the hardest because based on what almost seniority was and who was out there, that was going up before the board, it seemed like it was a reasonable choice for Alma to be selected. And of course he wasn't. But so that really told us, you know, okay, God's not God doesn't have that in the plan right now. And then 3 years later, she did end up getting selected. But in retrospect, if we look back on that, the timing would have been absolutely horrible if she got selected 9 years ago or 6 years ago. The fact that she got selected 3 years ago, the timing worked out perfectly for everything else going on in our lives. So even though God answered the prayer, so to speak, he answering it in his time and his plan had way more benefits than if he had answered it on our plan and our timing.
Well, there you've heard a word of encouragement. Actually, if you can sort of just skim some of the sweetness off of that. And what it is the wonder of God and his love and care for us to the point where he sometimes holds back in answering the prayers that we pray in the way and in the time. Because he knows in his foreknowledge that it's not good for us, that it will do more harm for us. Sometimes we're like children. We want it and we want it now. And sometimes we kick and we scream. You know, of course, adults, we hide it better. But inside, we have our ways. But God, in his great love and mercy and wisdom, he says, no, no, no. Not yet, not yet. I'm preparing you. In fact, if I let you have it now, you might implode. Things might deconstruct. You might deconstruct it yourself because there's an internal construct that's not yet built. Because when the time is right, I'll release you, then you'll have it, and it will be sustainable and grow, and marvelous things will happen as a result. If you're there, hold on. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, if you've ever tried putting a square peg into a round hole, you know how hard it is. You know how impossible it is to get there, or virtually impossible. And I say virtually impossible because some people actually try to make it happen, and it gets deformed in the process. And you might be able to get it through, but it's with a lot of strain, and it was never meant to fit. But wow, when you get a square peg in a square hole, a round peg in a round hole, how smooth and how perfect it fits. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show, and that's what we're talking about here in a real life situation. Russ Grocki, his wife, U.S. Rear Admiral Alma Grocki, sharing a little bit about their story, their journey. Find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Alma, you're in the process of becoming a Rear Admiral. What was the timing like, and how did it become a round peg in a round hole over the course of time?
Well, like we talked about, I didn't get selected the first two times I could go up. And it's a three-year wait in between each one. And so what ended up happening was the year that I did get selected was the absolute best time. The kids were almost out of high school. I was told, like, you're going to have to come back on active duty for 3 years. If I had done that at the six-year or nine-year point before that, they would have still been at, you know, intermediate or just getting to high school. We would have uprooted them, probably gone to D.C. They wouldn't have been able to graduate here in Hawaii. And so we didn't realize it, but when I did get selected, it turned out that the job I'm in right now opened up in Hawaii, and they didn't have anybody to fill it. So they brought me on active duty, and you know, I drove 5 miles to get to my job, I mean, every day. And if it had been any other timing, that would not have worked. And so, you know, people say, well, you were lucky or it was a coincidence or whatever. And I don't think that's right. I don't think there's luck involved or it just happens or, you know, the stars were aligned or anything like that. I think God had that plan. And he decided that although we wanted it early on because that's what we thought we wanted, he knew that if I had been selected back then, it would have been bad for our family. It would have been very disruptive for the kids and for our family as a whole. And then the job in Hawaii would not have been available. And so we would have to move somewhere. As it turns out, we're here. The kids graduate from from high school, and I'm able to work full-time, and it's not a problem. And it's not coincidence, and it's not just lucky. It was God's plan and his timing.
What lesson did you learn in the process?
The lesson is that, again, you know,
patience.
We forget, even with all these things, these transitions we've had in our life, you know, Russ and I sometimes, especially for me, I forget that I should just give it to God in the beginning. I still try to cram that peg in the hole and try to make it work. And, you know, I think I'm learning earlier and earlier that I have to give it to God, but I still try because I want that little bit of control, that little bit of feeling like I'm doing something to further my life. And so we have to remember earlier that to give it to God earlier and then trust him that he's going to do what's best for us, not what we think is best. Like Russ said, not what we want, but what we need. And I think that's the takeaway from all this.
What frame of mind in the process, now you're Admiral, what frame of mind do you have as you look at serving?
Well, I guess I think about, you know, serving more people, being able to influence or affect more people in a positive way. And I've actually been able to in some dealings I've had, you know, if I can see that the person is believes in God, is Christian, sometimes I'll tell them, you're in a difficult situation. Just pray about it. Let it go and let God and just pray about it. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to force anything on anybody, but I've seen where in many situations it gives them a lot of comfort to hear that. I mean, it's sort of like you say, oh, it's common sense. But until you hear it, somebody tells you that and you could say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Why don't I do that? Mm. So, you know.
And we all need those reminders.
Right. And so to be able to touch more people that way and to share and give more. And that's, you know, a form of sharing.
I think also we realize over time that, you know, if your whole life is just centered on you or your family, you know, there's plenty of disappointing things that happen along the way that, you know, happen to everybody. But you really find over time, as we've gotten older, that there needs to be some element of, you know, selfless sacrifice and service to some cause, you know, greater than yourself. And, you know, we have one aspect of that in serving our country. And I'm really surprised sometimes how, for us, it seems natural. We've been doing it for all our lives. And Alma's dad worked with the Navy, and my dad was in the Navy for a while. So for us, serving the country is not really that strange, but it's really been heartening over the years, especially since 9/11, how many people are grateful for, you know, somebody being willing to do that. And then, you know, the other aspect of it is, you know, serving God and try to figure out what your spiritual gifts are and how he can best use them. For me, I feel that it's, you know, working with youth and, you know, administrative kind of things. So I've been doing youth sports coaching forever, it seems like, and then recently got in with organizing of the state prayer breakfast and some other events. And, you know, it gives you a sense of purpose if you can sort of figure out what your spiritual gifts are and feel like you're actually applying them to the benefit of the community.
Alma, you have a gift that I wish I had. You know, singing with the Honolulu Symphony Chorus. What does it feel like to be singing in that capacity?
I could tell you that the things that give you the chicken skin are when you're in a cathedral like St. Andrew's or any of the churches, and you're singing something that was written for God, to God. It's just an exhilarating feeling that it's another way to communicate with Him. Mm. You know, and everybody communicates in different ways with God. Some people can pray really easily. Mm. But music is sort of an international language, and you can get all that feeling to other people through music. Mm. And it really is uplifting to be able to do that. We sing other pieces as well, but the ones that seem to be the ones that really touch you, the ones that really give you the chicken skin, are the ones where you're singing to God or for Him.
Chicken skin even when you're singing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow.
Well, the Lord has blessed you, I mean, to be able to do what you're doing in the capacity that you're doing it, and to feel that, and to feel, Elma, feel that, and Russ, for you to feel the fulfillment when you're coaching young people, teaching them life skills as well as the game of golf. Mm-hmm. I wish that you were my coach when I was young, because anybody that sees my game today questions if that is even a golf game. Danny, you shouldn't have even called yourself that. Their bodies are so pliable, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like rubber bands, the swing, the follow-through, the wonder, the beauty of it. And you help bring that out.
Well, their minds are pliable, too. I mean, kids that don't have a lot of confidence. And Russ is, you know, the parents, when our son graduated, they were afraid he wasn't going to golf coach anymore because my son was, you know, graduated. And they asked him, are you coming back? And he said, yeah, because he said they saw him encourage the kids, you know, that the kids that didn't have a lot of confidence or didn't think they could do this or anything else like that. You know, there was a girl who had never played, never picked up a club. And she was afraid to play, and his goal was to get her to do 18 holes in a round. And he did it, and she was so much better a person, not just a golfer, but a person for it, because he encourages them all to do their best and get some confidence.
There's a lot of mileage that comes from an encouraging word, and hundreds and hundreds of miles that comes from an encouraging person, where those words of encouragement just emanate continuously. Comes from a special spirit. Russ Grocki, you have it. And Alma, you have, in that drivenness, there's a grace that God has given you. And I thank both of you for coming and sharing so richly with us today. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for you. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having us.
I hope that as you've heard Alma and Russ Grocki today, that you were encouraged, inspired, because I surely have been. You know, there's no better time than right now, as they have, to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And you know what? If you haven't done so, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I put a special video presentation for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support, you'd like to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance for that. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Rear Admiral Alma Lau Grocki and Russ Grocki. Until next time, along with my technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.